HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 41, recorded Wednesday, November 15th, 2006. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Codesmith Tools, makers of Codesmith, an extensible template-based code generator for .NET. Hansel Minutes listeners get $100 off Codesmith Professional with coupon code HM100, online at codesmithtools.com. And by Slash N Software Red Carpet Subscriptions, the most comprehensive solution for adding connectivity to your .NET and ASP.NET applications, with components for every major internet protocol, online at www.nsoftware.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine, online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott and Carl discuss the specifications of WS Star.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin, and you're listening to Hansel Minutes from HanselMinutes.com. I'm here with Scott, as we try to be every week. We do.
Yep. We try, in fact.
Sometimes we go away. It's hard, but it's hard. You know, we're here now.
It's hard producing a show. You fear put a lot not. Of work into this.
It's true, we do.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of, I don't mean to, you know, waste the listener's time, but Rory has sent me some emails lately. He went looking through iTunes for the first time at all the other podcasts out there.
Okay.
He says they basically suck.
Huh.
Huh. Okay. So what's the topic today?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the WS Star specifications. I think a lot of people have worked with web services, but most people are doing web services in a file new web service kind of a way from Visual Studio. And while a number of people have messed with WSE, WSE, the web services enhancements,
right,
and more people are getting into WCF, I thought that it would be an interesting thing to spend a few double speed 20 minutes of the listener's time to talk about these different specifications that people keep referring to as WS Dash Star.
And you know, Scott, the first thing that I hear from people when we're talking about Indigo and all of this stuff is, isn't WS Star like old technology? And I think there's a misconception out there that just because we had toolkits for WS Star before and now we have Indigo, that somehow we don't need to pay attention to these. So let's clarify that point.
So WS Star refers to all of the WS hyphen draft specifications, most of which are associated with WS security.
Yeah.
And these are all things that make SOAP work better. But you kind of have to back up quite a bit to the some of the fundamentals. So, you know, there's XML, but more specifically, there's what's called the post schema validated info set, or the PSVI. We all know that it, with XML and angle brackets, if you decide to go and say left angle bracket foo forward slash right angle bracket, what does that mean, right? That means an empty element called foo. And that is semantically equivalent to having a foo element and then an end foo element, right? That's the kind of the obvious example of these two things mean the same.
Right.
If you did a diff between two documents that each had these two kinds of elements, if you did a byte-by-byte diff, you would see that they are different. But if you did a semantic diff with a smart XML diff, you'd see that they are semantically the same. When you apply schema to an XML document and stop thinking about angle brackets and think about the after it's been schema validated, the PSVI, the post schema validated info set, the information set that is associated with that XML, regardless of the angle brackets and the serialization format and how it actually hits the wire, then you start having something interesting.
Hmm.
Now, that's XML, and that's the, you know, the DOM and some of the basics of XML. But what had to happen before we got into the WS Star specifications was, of course, SOAP. But before that, we've got XML signature. XML signature, or XML DSIG, digital signature, was a specification that described how one could mark an element within XML with a cryptographically significant digital signature to prevent the tampering of that particular element. So I could give you an XML document that maybe had a person element, and underneath person we had first name and we had last name. And I could then apply an ID to, like maybe an ID with a GUID to the person element. And then later on, somewhere else in the document, I could have a digital signature that refers back via what's called an ID ref. An ID and an ID ref are kind of the, you know, primary key and key reference of the XML set.
Right.
And I could say, here is a digital signature associated with the information set represented by person. So that if somebody tampered with person, I could tell because it was signed. I could see that someone had messed around.
Sort of like a hash or equivalent.
Right. Then on top of XML signature and the techniques for applying signatures to elements within documents was XML encryption, which would let you apply a cipher value and say, this information set contained in this element and from this element and down is now represented by this XML block.
And this is all way before SOAP, right?
Right. So WS Security, among other things, takes things like XML signature and XML encryption and then integrates it with SOAP. So when I was talking about a moment ago about assigning an ID, that ID would be in a different namespace, right? Because you don't want to actually change the information set represented by the person element.
Right.
One of the things that WS Security would do is would say, I'm going to put this information about the digital signature up in the header. So it calls out the difference between the body of the message and the header of the message and indicates a way to potentially encrypt or sign chunks of a document arbitrarily. So this means that I could potentially create, let's say, a document that represents an invoice or a purchase order, and let's say that it included payment information.
Okay.
Right now, you know, most of our listeners could sit down a notepad and kind of, you know, bang out a document like that and come up with a general sense of what they think that ought to look like, or maybe their companies already have an XML schema to do that. But what something like WS Security allows you to do is that if you were passing that combination payment information and invoice via SOAP, you might want to route that document such that the invoice was digitally signed to prevent it from being, being tampered with, and then you might want to actually encrypt the payment information with a different key. And this information about what was going on would go in the header, and then you might, in the sense of the encryption aspect, remove that whole payment bit, and you'd insert in a cipher value. So the information set's still there. It's just been encrypted. What this would mean is that I could route that document through multiple departments and wouldn't have to be concerned about information that one department might not want to see.
Sure.
Like, I don't necessarily want to allow the payment information to be seen by the department that manages the inventory.
Encryption's all about protection in transit.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So these XML digital signature and XML encryption techniques and drafts specifications, when applied the way that WS Security describes them, allows you to pass these documents around, these kind of composite documents, and use them in very, very flexible ways that really match the way your business works. A good physical analogy to this would be like in Oregon, we do vote by mail. So like we just had our big midterm elections in the States, and everyone said, well, you know, when did you vote? You were out of town. How did you do that? Well, in Oregon, we can vote by mail.
Absentee ballot.
We did. Absentee ballot. But
I
it's
did
more
the same
of a, everyone
before,
votes
though.
By mail. You don't actually go to the...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So they send us a ballot ahead of time, and you fill it out, and you send in your information. And there's a secrecy envelope. So there's an envelope, and there's also another envelope. So I can have multiple things in that envelope. And, you know, if you tamper with one, you can tell. So there's actually a separate envelope inside the main envelope. The main envelope is addressed. The one inside is done for secrecy purposes. So in case someone opens the outer envelope, they won't accidentally open up the inner envelope.
Right.
So what someone can do with things like WS Security is create a large envelope full of other tiny envelopes, some of which have like you know, a wax stamp. Remember when people used
sure.
to set
sealing
off
wax.
A messenger, and they'd have like a stamp done in a wax symbol from the king, and they would indicate that this particular envelope had been tampered with.
That's what these are doing. Sealing wax, they call it.
Sealing wax, exactly right. Thank you for that. So WS Security is the how to do sealed wax envelopes and documents within the context of SOAP using XML signature and XML encryption.
Nice.
So we've all seen WSDL. WSDL, of course, is the web services description language that describes what a particular service can do. WS Policy is a specification that is kind of like WSDL, but it describes a policy of a particular web services endpoint. So it would say, well, if you're going to be doing, if you're going to be talking to us, our security policy is going to indicate that you need to use triple DES and you require a client certificate if you're using HTTPS. So the transport has to be a certain way. It's kind of WSDL policy.
Yeah.
So WSDL is the, here's how to call it, and the WS policy document is a separate document that I suppose could come along for the ride inside of WSDL that describes all of the different policies around how we want things handled if you're going to be doing this, all the security policies.
Just about now in the speech is when, you know, I hear people clicking the stop button on their iPods and saying, like Lurch on the Addams Family, right? Because, you know, when we think of WSDL and WS policy, we've all seen those files and they're cryptic and difficult to understand at first glance. And, you know, we might want to just reassure the listener that, you know, nobody expects you to write this stuff by hand.
You know, yeah, for the most part, if you're using a decent toolkit, just like a good web services toolkit will hide the WSDL from you. Indigo is doing its best, now WCF is doing its best to hide these things from you.
And it does a really good job. I mean,
yeah. I still think that an awareness of this is important.
That's right.
And I know that people will probably disagree with me, but I just think it's so important for someone to go up to w3.org and actually read the submissions. I mean, there are submissions, there are draft specifications. A lot of people put a lot of good work into these things. These are joint specifications written by, you know, like Microsoft, IBM, SAP, BEA. This is not just Microsoft saying how things ought to be. They wrestle, and they're not particularly hard to read. They really aren't.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the WS policy one right now, and it's fairly well organized. It's got examples. It explains what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah, there are people like Tim Bray who kind of invented XML who say that this is way too complicated, and people complain. But it's not that complicated, right? There's a difference between being difficult and being complex.
Well, you know, and hopefully that's why you're listening to the show, so that, you know, you can explain it to
us. Yeah, well, and not just because, I mean, I can't explain, you know, all the WS Star things in one 20-minute podcast that's being played in double speed while someone races down the Autobahn or wherever they're listening to this.
Right.
But rather than – what I'm trying to accomplish by talking about it in this particular podcast is rather than just saying WS Star and not really knowing what that means, understanding that these are layers, right?
Right.
There are layers that came very quickly though, and I think that's what's confusing because we – you know, for the longest time there was XML and then there was schema that built on top of things like DTDs and DCDs. And then everyone pretty much understood that. And then we started talking about document literal,
right?
Passing around, you know, documents. Then you start thinking about message passing, request response messages, and that in the context of SOAP, SOAP being just an enveloping technology and a way to define headers. That's pretty much all SOAP is. It's just like, oh, here's what an envelope looks like. And then suddenly we started getting WS Security, WS Secure Conversation, da 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 da, da and it got very confusing. Yeah, there are things you probably won't use for a while, like WS Atomic Transaction and, you know, things like that. But the things that you are going to want to understand are things like WS Security. You're going to want to understand what's called WS Metadata Exchange.
Let's talk about that one for a sec.
So WS Metadata Exchange is what they call WS MEX. And this is a way to describe what endpoints need to know when you want to interact. So WS policy that we just talked about is the describing a characteristic of a web service, like what that web service, what its capabilities are, what its requirements are. While WSDL describes things like the endpoint address, like where you can find that web service, describes the messages and the operations that are supported, and some of the network protocols that you would potentially want to use. You know, this web service uses HTTP. That would go on WSDL.
Yeah.
WS policy might say, and you really need to be using this kind of security and these client certificates when you do that.
So WS policy, this isn't really about business rules, is it?
Well, it's a good question. It kind of depends. If the business rule says this ought to be encrypted and here's how, WS policy is a decent way to describe that in a programmatic sense.
So where does it end?
It's all about discovery, right? I want to be able to ask the web service, so what exactly is it going to take for me to talk to you?
Okay. Right? So the policy says you must be using this certificate and that certificate, and you must encrypt this payload and that payload.
Right.
Yeah.
So WS metadata exchange is a specification that describes how we're going to work these dialects out, how we're going to say, well, I speak WS policy, the one that came out in September of 2004, and here's how I want to express that bit of metadata. It's not something you ordinarily need to worry about now that, you know, WCF kind of handles this for you.
Yeah.
But it's a way of describing a bit of metadata. It's a way of collecting units of metadata.
Okay.
Like WSDL, policy, schema, and saying all of this applies to my endpoint.
Okay.
So you've got signatures, you've got encryption, you've got things like metadata exchange to describe things like policy and kind of tie it all together. So I have some endpoint out there that is going to speak web services. And now I want to communicate back and forth using private keys, right? Public-private keys.
Yeah.
So Carl Franklin is a service, and I will – and then I'm Scott. I'm going to talk to the Carl Franklin service. I'm going to take my message, and I'll encrypt it using your public key.
Right.
And my private key.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to maintain whether or not it's been tampered with. And I'm using information about you to make sure that things are decryptable by you. Now, WS Trust is a specification that describes the interface for a security token service. Okay? We've heard about STSs in our talk about InfoCard. So InfoCard, Microsoft's InfoCard or Card Spaces, is the client side of a WS Trust relationship. Okay. And the trust that you have between yourself and another service is represented by that exchange of tokens. So I'm going to go and say, I have some claims about myself. I claim that my first name is Scott and my last name is Hanselman and I have a website here. That claim can be represented by a URI, like a unique identifier.
Uh-huh.
Most people are using URLs for this, but it's just a uniform resource indicator or identifier.
Identifier,
yeah. And I'm going to talk to a particular security token service that we might share. So, like, let's say Scott calls the Carl Franklin service, and the trust relationship has to be set up ahead of time. What a security token service is it's a third-party trusted thing with a known interface that we can use. You trust him, I trust him, we trust each other. So then I could also call the Richard Campbell service, you know. So there's the Carl service and the Richard Campbell service, and there's some security token service that is going to be handing out tokens. So what WS Trust is it is the thing that lets the applications construct these message exchanges in a trusted way. So I can go and say, hey, security token service, you know, I have this claim I want to make about my name, or maybe I want to – ordinarily you make a claim about either your identity – or that there's an aspect about yourself that you feel is important. And it will return back a token. That token is a collection of those claims. And if you sign that token, then you've got some authority that is going to cryptographically endorse that token.
Yeah.
And say, well, this certificate has been applied to this token, so now I've got a security token that I can make sure is trusted and it's not been tampered with. And the security token service, that third-party service there, might be handled by you doesn't necessarily mean to need to be a third party. It's that web service that gives tokens. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is the thing that will, based on evidence that it has about trust, you provide it with some proof. Like I might give it a username and a password, or a username and a password and something from a smart card, and then it will return a token and it will generate those tokens. So in the context of card spaces, like we were talking about last week, or a couple weeks ago, when you self-issue a card space card, there is a security token service. It's just on your machine. So you're basically telling yourself you trust yourself. And that's where a self-issued token comes from. There's a little tiny local security token service running.
That's fine for you, but you know, if somebody out in the big wide world gets that, they're not going to know if they're going to trust it or not.
And that's why we're hoping that like an Amazon or Visa will start being a security token service. So a security token service is a web service that speaks WS trust.
Have VeriSign or any of these certificate vendors gotten on board with web service-based tokens?
Everyone's on board, but no one has made a public security token service out there for the world yet.
Dude, Scott's Security Token Service. I can see it now. Dude, you're in the wrong business, man.
SSTS. I trust everybody. So there are these different ways that one could say, I'm going to broker trust. You could have like direct trust where I'm going to be the relaying party and I'm going to accept all of your claims.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'll only accept some of the claims. Or maybe I'll be vouching for someone, right? I could you trust me, and then we could kind of apply the transitive property of trust, you know?
Right.
You trust me. I trust Richard Campbell, and he trusts you by a direct brokered trust.
Right.
The WS trust also indicates the concept of message freshness, the idea that you want to make sure that a message doesn't get replayed. So there's a thing called a nonce that prevents someone from TiVoing your web services.
Right.
Right. You only want to make sure that only one shows up. So the requester, that would be like me, who is going to call the Carl Franklin web service, would go to the security token web service and make some claims and say, I claim these things and do you trust me? And based on their policy and their tokens, they'll return back a token to me that then I could hand to you.
Right.
And then you could then talk to the security token web service and find out whether or not you buy it, whether you believe this is the case.
Okay.
And then these trust relationships can be set up ahead of time, or we could have kind of dynamic trust where you would trust me because of information that you received from that token service. So Indigo, WCF, understands these things out of the box. Ordinarily, you won't have to see any of these angle brackets, but you will spend a lot of time not in DLL hell, but you'll spend it in config file hell.
So in WCF, do we have configurators? Do we have wizards? Do we have tools to make it so that we don't have to touch the goo? Or do you actually have to get in there and do it?
Well, yeah. So yes and no. That's a great question. There are some 99% of things there's a config file for. We bumped into a few things where we have to use the object model that comes with Indigo in order to make some changes.
Okay.
And, you know, 99 times out of 100, there's some aspect of things in Indigo and WCF that you can get to from the config file. You can replace everything. You know, if you don't like the way it does something, you just yank it out and say, I'll do that.
Yeah, I do like that about WCF. It's modular. And if you want to do something better, you can just plug it in.
But you do have to spend a lot of time in the config files. There are some WinForms applications that'll do that. I've seen a couple. Shai Cohen's shown me some. I think more and more you'll see tools to do that. When you plug in some tools into Visual Studio, that will let you get to those things.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen kind of the Uber configurator for all things Indigo that lets me never touch an angle bracket inside of a config file yet. But maybe a listener will educate us to that.
Yeah, that's what we need. All right, tool vendors, are you listening out there? That's it.
Yeah. So that's basically the WS star stuff that you need to know about in 20 short minutes.
Yeah, that was good, I think.
There's a lot more. But don't be afraid to read the specs, and it is sometimes hard to get the big picture. But if you look at like Michelle Bustamante's blog, that Indigo girl, look at her blog. Look at the guys like Ingo Rammer.
Yep.
Watch the videos on Channel 9 about WCF.
Yeah,
they're really good.
Yeah, and get to one of the iDesign training sessions,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
Those are great.
And actually, he just released, that's a great point, Yuval Lowry at iDesign, just iDesign.net, just released his WCF coding standard.
Yeah.
Just go to the homepage. It's right there. And it's very good. It's a description of how he says you should write your WCF services for simplicity, ease of calling, ease of configuration, ease of use.
He spent a long time thinking about this and working with the team, too. Also, he's got his big mammoth example, WCF sample code collection.
Oh, yeah, there's so much stuff up there. If you go up to, just go to iDesign.net and click on downloads. He's got whole huge sections on WCF, example after example after example. There's really more examples there than there are really anywhere else, including Microsoft's own site.
And Yuval is so modest, too.
Yeah, and he'll tell you that.
Yeah. All right, Scott, that's a show.
Fantastic.
Thanks a lot. I know you're not feeling all that great today. I'm sort of coming down with a cold, too, and we apologize for the lack of links, but I think it was a good primer anyway.
I think so.
Thank you, Scott, and we'll see you next week on Hansel Minutes.